Well, let's turn our attention this morning. We're going to move today away from our study in the book of Acts. We're going to just hit the pause button here for a few weeks. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a series of messages that are focused on the coming of Christ, the birth of our Savior. And today, we're going to begin with the messenger who came to Mary. In the Bible, we find that God uses various messengers to be able to bring his word into the lives and the hearts of other people. In the Old Testament, it was very common that this person was called or known as the prophet. The prophet was the one that brought the message of God, the word of God to the people. Then over into the New Testament and on into today, the role of bringing God's message is given to Jesus' followers. We are his witnesses. So we are the message bringers today. But throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are others who brought the message of God into the lives and hearts of others that maybe don't get enough attention, perhaps. In some cases, they may get too much attention. And in fact, there is a worship unto these that certainly is not to be rendered to them, but nonetheless it is by some people, but it's angelic worship. But the reason for that would be probably in those people's minds that angels have such a high capacity in God's kingdom work. But while we are not to worship the angels, in fact, in the book of Revelation, we see that the angel told John, no, John fell down as though to worship the angel. And the angel told John, no, do not worship me. You know, I'm not the one. He's the one. And so even though angels have this incredible role to play, we realize they are not ones to be worshipped, and yet they are still very important in the lives of others as God's message is brought to them. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we see that the word says, Hebrews 1, verse 14, that angels are sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. In our text today, we see that it's the angel Gabriel. Not a lot of angels are mentioned by name in the Bible. We know that there are many angels, but only a few of them are given to us by name. And it is that on this occasion that the angel Gabriel is the one who came to speak God's word to Mary. And it was in this message that as Gabriel spoke it into the heart of Mary, that it was intended for her to bring God glory from her life. If she would obey this message that the angel is speaking into her life, she was going to bring great glory to God, magnify his name in incredible ways. And just like Mary, God is still desiring purpose and action from his people still today in order to bring him glory. And so if you're part of the church, part of the true church, meaning that your faith is genuine, it's not just something emotional that you've experienced, but rather it is a transformation of your heart in following Jesus Christ. God expects purpose from you, action from you, as you pursue that which he has for you, his will for your life. Now, for some of us, God's calling, if you will, might be this very day, on this occasion, it might be for salvation, that you perhaps have not surrendered your life to following the way of God. And it is today that God would be calling you to himself. Still, for others of us, maybe God's calling on us is to become more committed, to stop wavering between the world and his word, but to fully devote ourselves to the study of his word, the reading of his word, the study of his word, praying his word, and then speaking his word into the lives of others who are lost and far from God. You see, God is calling us to a higher level. Each and every follower of Jesus Christ, God calls us to continue moving forward into a lifetime of obedience, surrender, and sacrifice. So don't fight against this. When you begin to sense that pounding in your chest, your heart just beating more rapidly, when you sense the word of God becoming more and more alive to you, don't run away from that. Don't be afraid of it and don't run away from it, because that is God touching you. God speaking you. Now, he's not forcing us. God would not do that. God doesn't force us to do these things, but he does call us to do these things. And so he's calling us. He's calling you. And 2,000 years ago, there was a very unsuspecting young girl. I say young because we estimate her to be in her younger teenage years when this happened. But here it was that she lived in a very poor town, a poor area called Nazareth. Now she herself, she had no great knowledge as it concerns education. She had no real wealth that we know about. There was no notoriety about her or her family. And yet the Bible says that God called her. This is something that it seems God really likes to do. God seems to love to call people that the world otherwise might not be paying much attention to. And 1 Corinthians 1:26 tells us why that is. Here Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many among you who were wise according to the flesh. There were not many of you who were mighty. There were not many of you who were noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, so that no man may boast before God." Now I read this and I realize this is why God called me. I was this shy, insecure young little boy. Do not ask me to stand up in public and speak to anyone. That's who I was. And two, I was from the poor town. I was from a poor family. There was no wealth. There was no notoriety on my behalf. Nothing special about me. And yet here I stand, called by God, a beautiful wife, incredible boys, and pastoring a loving church that together we are slowly pushing back the darkness through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Friends, when God calls us, He works through us. But you need to ask yourself today, this is our question that I hope you will ponder as we move on through the message this morning, but are you listening? God calls us, and perhaps God is calling you right now, but our question, your question is, are you listening? Our story this morning reveals much about the way that God presents His message, His calling on our lives. Beginning in verse number 26, we see that the call of God on our lives is one that is very specific. You see, when the angel came, the angel went to Mary. And this happened also at a very determined time. We're told it was during the sixth month, and that sixth month is a reference to Elizabeth being pregnant with John the Baptist, who was going to be the forerunner for all that Jesus was going to be doing. And in this, we can clearly see that there is a specific person for God's calling, and there's a specific timing for God's plan to be fulfilled when God calls on us in our lives. And your calling is going to be this way as well. You see, God's not calling anybody else to do what God is calling you to do right now, whatever that might be. He's asking you. And when He calls you, the time to obey Him is in that moment, here, now. When you sense that calling. He's not in here right now. He went out with his mom for Team Kids. But Nathan, sometimes he's watching television. And I ask him to do something. Invariably, he always says, "Dad, can it wait until this show goes off?" Now, sometimes that works out for him. Sometimes it doesn't. But there are times when God is calling us. He's calling us to repent. There's times that God's calling us to forgive someone. When He's calling us to fulfill an obligation to someone else, to something else, or perhaps even fulfill an obligation to Himself. There are times when God may be calling us to meet a need in someone else's life, to serve in a specific role, perhaps in the church or within the community. Sometimes God is calling us at a specific time to pray for someone. And yet, perhaps very subtly, we might say, "Not right now. I'm not ready to do that." Or we might say, "God, I don't even want to do that." But if we miss our call, and I don't say this to sound cliche at all, if we miss our call, we miss our blessing. And that's not all, because when we miss our call, it's like we hit the stop button on our lives bringing glory to God. If you don't answer the call of God on your life is not going to reveal the glory of God. You're not going to be able to magnify Him. If you're not willing to obey, if you're not willing to sacrifice when God calls you, God's not going to get the glory. And that's all He wants. Remember, that's what God wants from you and me. He wants His glory to be seen in our lives. 2 weeks ago, I was traveling. And I was just coming out of a town, and I saw a hitchhiker on the side of the road. And sometimes I'll pick up hitchhikers, sometimes I will not. I've had good experiences, and I've had bad experiences. I went through one period in my life where I thought, I need to pick up every hitchhiker that I go by. But God taught me a lesson about that, and that's not true to pick up everyone, because one time I picked up a guy, and he kind of freaked me out a little bit. It was a really unusual circumstance, but the guy said some things, and I really began to wonder, am I in the presence of a demon, perhaps? It was a really, I couldn't wait to get him out of the car. And thankfully, everything went okay. And I was able to stop at the next exit. I picked him up on an interstate, and I pulled over to the next exit, and he got out. But I learned in that lesson to always pray and ask God, okay, is this one that I should stop for? Is this one I should stop for? And I'll be honest with you, on this occasion, 2 weeks ago, when I saw this hitchhiker, I didn't even pray that, because I was pondering a lot of things. I was in deep thought. I was just riding quietly down the road. I didn't even have the radio on, because I was just running things through my mind. And I didn't want to be bothered. And yet, as I was driving by this man, the urge to stop was so strong that I just hit the brakes and went onto the shoulder of the road really quickly. And the guy runs up to my car, and when he gets to the window, he says, hey, I'm just going 4 miles or so up the road. And I said, well, come on in. I'll give you a ride. And it was right on my way. It was not out of the way at all, right on my path. And so we start journeying those 4 miles, and I find out that this man, why he's even walking, is because he lives 5 miles from town, but he had walked the 5 miles back into town to go to the library to use the computer to apply for a job. And I thought, well, that's very admirable. You know, that seems like somebody's really trying hard to make a way. So I celebrated. I encouraged him in that. And then we very quickly got to his driveway, and then we sat in the driveway and we talked for a little while longer, and I found out that this man was a believer in Christ. He was a brother in Christ. Although he admitted that he had fallen away from the church in recent years, and there were some other things going on in his life that they were very difficult, and at his own doing, he admitted they were the result or the consequences of decisions that he had made himself. And so he was owning all of these things. But before I left him that day, I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said, yes, sure. And so we prayed right there in my car before he got out. And after I prayed, it's what I saw in his eyes that really confused me, because there was an unusual look in his eye. I'd never seen anything quite like this in a moment like that before. And he followed that up, thankfully, very quickly, because I didn't have to wonder very long as he began to speak. And he said, no one has ever prayed for me before. And then I realized, God did not call me to stop that day so that I could help this man or keep him from having to walk 4 miles. He was strong. He was very capable of doing that. But God didn't call me to stop that day because he wanted me to keep the man from having to walk those 4 more miles. God called me to stop that day because he wanted me to pray for that man. And he wanted me to introduce him to a love in the family of God that he had never experienced before. That call on my life on that day was very time sensitive, and it was very specific. And remember, your call will be specific and time sensitive as well. In verse 29, when she, Mary, heard the angel tell her that she was going to have a child, she became very troubled. She was perplexed about all of this, but the angel said to her, don't worry, because God has found high favor, or given high favor to you, Mary. The favor of God is what the Jews longed for. Every Jew wanted the favor of God. And Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 tells us why they wanted the favor of God. It says, for his anger, that's God's anger, is but for a moment, but his favor, God's favor, is for a lifetime. And in Psalm 5, verse 12, we're told that God blesses the righteous man, and he surrounds him with favor as though it were a shield for that person. Friends, we should be praying for the favor of God. You should be praying for the favor of God on your family. Pray for the favor of God on my family. Pray for the favor of God to be on this body of believers. Even though Mary had found this favor of God, it had just been given to her, we still see that her calling was very surprising to her. It perplexed her. But why? It's because God wanted to do something through her life that she never could have imagined. Something so grand, something never heard of before. And it surprised her. And the same's going to be true to you. But let me say this to you. When God calls on your life, it could mean that God's going to be calling you to do something for someone that you don't want to help. It could be that God's call on your life would be for you to give up something that you've been doing and begin doing something that, again, you might not want to do. It's true, though, that God's will, his plan, is sometimes surprising to us, like it was for Mary. But today we're reminded that God's plan, God's will for your life is always best. You might not understand that at first. You might not be able to see it in the moment. But you have to know that if it's coming from God, it is right and it is best. In Matthew 19, Jesus says, with man, there are many things that are impossible, but with God, there is nothing that is impossible. And so it is that the alcoholic or the addict or even the murderer, that they can become a saint in Christ. And so it is that the immoral person can become a missionary for the glory of God. And so it is that the shy or bashful person can be turned into a bold witness for Christ. So it is with God, because nothing is impossible with him. God really wants to do something special in your life, with your life. And if you will follow his call, even though you may not understand it, even though you might not agree with it at first, God wants to do something special in your life, and he'll do that. In verse 30, Gabriel says, don't be afraid of God's call on your life. And he goes on basically to explain how God really does have a plan. God doesn't just approach your life in a nonchalant kind of way. God has a plan and a purpose. He has thought it through all the way to the very end. And verse 31 says, and behold, the angel speaks this to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he will rule his kingdom, one that has no end. Now keep in mind, this has not happened. It's never been heard of before, by the way, other than what the prophets had told, but it had never been told in quite such a specific way. And so God is letting us know that he can see from the beginning to the end of his plan. Nothing catches him off guard. God is always prepared. And he really does have a map to be able to navigate us through all of the pieces that we have to navigate through when we answer his call. And God wants to do more through you than you can fathom. That's the promise to you today. God wants to do more through your life than you can imagine or fathom. So let him do something very real and very special in your life. Mary is a young teenage girl at this time. And God's about to do one of the most miraculous things that the world has ever known or heard of through her life. She is a virgin, yet she will bear a son. She is a person of no nobility, and yet she is about to begin raising the King of all kings. I also think about Moses, who at 80 years of age, at that point in time which most people begin to say, I need to slow down, I need to back off. Many people were even quitting in ministry by the time they reached that kind of age. But it was at 80 years of age that God revealed to Moses that he had something else for him to do. And God gave Moses a new ministry that would last 40 more years of his life at the age of 80. Friends, understand that God is not just doing these kinds of incredible things through people of the Bible. God is still doing incredible things through people who will answer his call right here, right now, this very day. If you are breathing, God has a plan for you. It's why in the very last chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, we're told, let everything who has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The point is, if you're breathing, God has a purpose for you. And I say that very intentional because when you're not breathing, that's when your purpose stops. We're told that in Acts chapter 13. When we pick back up on our study in Acts, come the new year, we're going to get back to this place. We're not quite there yet. But we will see in Acts chapter 13, the scripture plainly says, King David, who we know God used to do many great things, God worked through him in mighty, mighty ways. But King David, in Acts chapter 13, we are told that it is when he fulfilled the purpose of God in his life that he went to sleep and he did not wake up. He left this world. But it was not until he had fulfilled the purpose, the will of God for his life. Friends, God may be calling you to be the next great soul winner. God may be calling you to be the next prayer warrior or church planter or mission leader or encourager or teacher. God may be calling you to be doing any or all of these things or many other things. But know this, whatever God is calling you to do, it is really important to God. God would not be calling you to do it if it was not important to him. Now, it might not be what you want to do. But we have to remember that we have surrendered our lives. You have given up your life so that you could live for Christ. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So I live for the purpose of God's will to be fulfilled through my life. But the truth is, you don't have to say yes. You can say no to God's calling, but your life will be miserable. And maybe some of you are miserable right now because you know you've not been saying yes to God's will. You've not been saying, Lord, I want your plan to become fulfilled through my life. The example that quickly comes to my mind is Jonah. Jonah ran from God's call. And in his rebellion, we see also that some really scary and dangerous situations came into his life. In Romans chapter 12, we're told why we don't do the will of God. Why we don't seek the plan of God for our lives. It's because we're not willing to live sacrificially for God. We're not willing to give up much to follow God. And we're told that pleasing God and living a holy life are not things that are really even on our radar. And therefore, we are not influenced by the Word of God in our lives. But we are influenced by the culture around us. But Romans 12 verses 1 through 2 tell us how to remedy this, how to enter into, live in the very center of God's will for our life. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, Paul says, I urge you. Number one, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is what true worship really is. And number two, he says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that, here's the reason why this is important, so that you may be able to discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. If you follow Jesus, this has to make you smile. This brings joy. You have to love this because here God's will, we are told, is good and it is pleasing. And moreover, it is perfect. This all means that God's plan for you is a perfect one. And that's right where we should want to be. So no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter where you are in life right now, God has a perfect plan to bring you forward, move you forward in bringing him glory. But notice verse 34. Whatever God calls you to do, it's higher than you. It's more than you can do. So therefore, you cannot do it on your own if God is calling you to it. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? This was her way of saying, there's no way. But the angel's response to her was, there is a way, and that way is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. So Mary, if you say yes to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will consume you. He's going to overtake you, and he's going to light a fire in you that's going to burn up all of your passions and all of your desires, so that all that's left inside of you is the desire to fulfill the will of God for your life. In verse 37, the angel says, this is where he tells Mary this, for nothing is impossible with God. So for that person who others have began to think that there's no hope for, that's not true. There's hope. There's hope for that most wayward of people. God can restore them. No one has gone so far away from the Lord that God cannot bring them to himself. Nothing is impossible with God. For that marriage that is splintering, perhaps even already broken, can it be rectified? Can it be reconciled? Can it be healed? Absolutely it can be. Because there is nothing that's impossible with God. Can God put the Son of God in the virgin womb of a little girl? Sure he can. Because there's nothing impossible with God. But before God does the supernatural in your life or my life, he wants to see verse 38 coming to life inside of you. The angel had given Mary the message, and now it's time for Mary to decide, okay, and am I going to do this? Am I going to follow through with what God's calling me to do? Because if she says no, then I don't know what God would have done. Perhaps he would have found someone else to do this. I don't know that. But even if she says yes, she's going to be ridiculed. She has to know this. Even though she's young, she has to know that if she says yes and this all comes to pass, she is going to be ridiculed. People are going to look at her in terrible ways. Young teenage girl pregnant, not married. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? Whatever you can imagine they would say or think, that's exactly what they said, and it's exactly what they thought, maybe even much worse than what you can think. So she's going to have to, if she says yes, she's going to have to endure this ridicule. Not only that, even the one that she loves, Joseph, she's going to be married. She's betrothed to him. They are getting married. But even Joseph is going to doubt her honesty. But deep in her heart, she knew that God was putting something there. God was calling her. And at the end of the day, friends, this is what has to be true of your life and mine. No matter what God wants you to do, you've got to do it. Even if others don't understand it, even if others don't accept it, if the will of God is calling you to move, to speak, to do something, you have to do it. You need to do it. Again, you can say no, but you will be miserable. And Mary said yes. In verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Friends, we should be praying this for ourselves every day. We should be praying this, raising our hands in the morning when we rise up, knowing that God has a plan for me for today. I don't know what it is, but I know God has something he wants to use me for today. So raising our hands when we raise, saying, "Lord, here I am. I'm your bond slave. Let your word be to me what the will of God is. That I would fulfill your word with my life." This is what Jesus taught his disciples to pray. When they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," Jesus said, "You pray, the kingdom will come. And that the will of God will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." But Jesus didn't just tell others to pray that way. This is the way Jesus lived his life. Matthew chapter 6 is where he taught them to pray. But you fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus was betrayed. After he had knelt down and he had washed the feet of his disciples, as they were clamoring about who of them was going to be the greatest, they totally misunderstood. But Jesus, in the meekness and the humility that he so desires from each of us, he kneels down and he washes those dirty feet of his disciples. And then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he begins praying. His prayer time was so intense that the scripture says he was sweating drops of blood. And in that prayer, he began to say, "Father, if there is any other way," as he's already began to feel the weight just crushing down on his shoulders of your rebellion and my rebellion against God. He's feeling all that in this prayer. But he says, Lord, if there is any other way, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So friends, the message here is pray what you want. Pray what you want. But follow that up by praying that God will change your heart if it's not what he wants. Pray what you want. But then pray and ask God to change your heart if it's not what he wants. Remembering that what he wants is perfect for you. Lastly, we're told that the angel, when Mary said, let it be according to me as your word has said, we're told that the angel left Mary's presence. And I can't help but believe that the angel left rejoicing because Mary said yes. Mary surrendered to the call of God on her life. But what about you? Have you surrendered to the call of God for his glory to be seen through whatever it is he's asking you to do? Have you prayed, Lord, let it be to me according to your word? Will you pray with me? Father, we pray that you will do something special through our lives. Something that will magnify your name and bring glory to you. But for this to happen, we know that we must surrender to your plan for our lives. So may it be the prayer of each one of us. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, if God is speaking to your heart today about something that you need to do, something you need to engage with him about, something that you need to be obedient regarding, the altar is open if you need to pray, or if you'd like for me to pray with you about these things. Or if God is revealing to you that his calling on you right now is for absolute and total surrender of your life to him because you've not done that. And so anything revolving around Christianity has not been true for you because your surrender has not been made. But if you are ready to answer that call today, God receives you and we rejoice with you. Or maybe God has been speaking to you about joining this fellowship of believers and you want to make that known today. God's calling you. Will you be obedient? We're going to sing our song of invitation. Please stand as we sing. And if you need to move, the altar is open. I am here. Please come and pray. Be obedient today. Lord, let it be to me according to your word.